And before he ever made the world, his people were on his mind. Before we'd ever sinned, he provided a Savior. Christ, in the purpose of God, was a lamb crucified before the foundation of the world. Open your Bibles, please, to Numbers chapter 21. Numbers chapter 21. I want to talk to you this morning about the brazen serpent. The brazen serpent here in Numbers 21. And the Lord Jesus Christ as set forth in the New Testament. I'm not going to read all these verses, but at your own leisure you can read them and get the full story. But as it often happens in verse 4, and Israel journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the soul of this people was very often much discouraged. And they murmured against Moses, and they murmured against God. And the people spake against God, against Moses, "Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there are no bread, neither is there any water, and our souls despise, loathe, hate this manna that falls from heaven, which is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ." Our souls loathe this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people. They bit the people. And much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses, as they often did, and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpent from us." And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Make thee a fiery serpent, set it upon a pole. It shall come to pass that every one that's bitten, when he looketh upon it, he shall live." That's God's remedy for their sin on that occasion in that time. But the story isn't over yet. Turn now to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. And I'm also only going to read 3 or 4 verses here to conserve time. John chapter 3. Nicodemus had come out to talk to the Lord. He was curious about many things. Wanted to ask him some questions and get some answers. And of course the Lord struck him right in the very heart of his need. But get on down here in the conversation between Nicodemus and our Lord. And it says here in verse 14, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, as we just read, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Tying these two passages together with the Holy Scriptures, Nicodemus had came out to our Lord here in John chapter 3. He came out to our Lord after hearing him, and he had a lot of questions on his mind. Nicodemus was one of the rulers of the Jews. He was a somebody among the Jews, well reputed, highly reputed. He came out to our Lord curious about many things. Who in the world is this Jesus anyway? stirring up such a commotion throughout Israel. Who is he? Who is he? Where did he come from? What is he? And so he came to ask him. And he came to find out something about his mighty works. How could he do those works? He said, I know you can't do those things which you do except God be with you. But I want some more answers. I want some more understanding. And he wanted to talk to him, no doubt, about the way he spoke with such authority. The people came back and sent out by the Jewish leaders to listen to him and see what he was saying and how he was talking and so forth. And they came back and said, this man spoke as no man ever spake. He spake as one having authority. He never said, go to the Lord, look to the Lord. He said, come to me. That would cause me to think, when is you? This man looks like other men, and yet said, come to me. I'll keep you alive. Come to me. Look to me. Believe on me. And so Nicodemus, he was curious, and I think more than curious. He came to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he wanted to know something about the kingdom he spoke of. All the Jewish people were interested in the kingdom. They had a distorted and perverted idea of what it would be. But they were indeed interested in the kingdom. Let someone mention the kingdom and their ears picked up. They were all interested. And our Lord, knowing his heart, put his finger on the very, very greatest need that he had, the greatest need all of us have, all sinners. And he said, you must be born again. Except a man be born again, he never enter, never see, never enjoy the kingdom of God. You want to know about the kingdom? This is what our Lord told him. Except a man be born again, he never see it. Never enter it, never enjoy it. The kingdom of God. And because this is the problem, man by nature, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. Never be anything but flesh. And the flesh never changes. God gives us a new nature. He gives us the Holy Spirit. But the flesh, the old nature, never changes. And he said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. It's flesh by nature, born of the flesh. And in the flesh, Paul said, there's no good thing, nothing in the eyes of God. We know when a little child is born, mama looks at him, grandma looks at him, and said, what a sweet, pretty, innocent little thing. But he's not. He's just like all the rest of us. He has the same root, same nature. And that nature is S-I-N with capital letters. Capital letters. And the flesh, the Bible says, is enmity. Enmity against God. Not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. Cannot be. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Nicodemus, you must be born again. You must have a new birth, a new nature. A new life. The flesh cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Sinners must be born again. And Nicodemus, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb? And our Lord said in verse 8, no, it's a sovereign, mysterious act. You want to know about the new birth? We don't have anything to do with it at all. Nothing. It's a work of God. James 1:18, of His own will begat He us through this word of truth. John chapter 3, verse 8, the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear the sound of it, but you can't tell where it came from, where it's going. Even so, is every soul that's born of God, born of the Spirit of God? It's a sovereign, mysterious act of God. Of His own will begat He us with the word of truth. John chapter 1 verse 13. Being born. I said, we don't have anything to do with it. He said, being born. Not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Born of God. I had no more to do with my second birth, my spiritual birth, than it had to do with my fleshly birth. And that's absolutely nothing. Nothing at all. And both of them were great mysteries in their own way. How can these things be? Christ said, are you a teacher in Israel? You don't know these things? You're a great teacher of Israel. Ruler of Israel. You don't understand these things? If you don't understand these things, how can I tell you spiritual things? Why should I tell you spiritual things if you don't understand earthly things? Nicodemus, there's a spiritual message here. Look back at Moses. There's a spiritual message there. There's a lesson there for you, Nicodemus. Back in Moses' day, there's a message of grace and life. There's a message of Christ and the gospel, Christ crucified. Christ suffering for sinners. That's the mystery of the new birth. And we learn that there's life for dying sinners in a look at the crucified Son of Man, Son of God, the God-man. Life in a look. Isaiah said, look unto me and be ye saved. All ye ends of the earth, for I am God. And there's none else. Only God can forgive sins. There's no place else to look. Look unto me, says God through the prophet Isaiah. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Those who look may live. Those who look in faith and obedience, they live. They don't die. Though snake bitten, though we full of sin, we don't die. He that liveth and believeth in me, he never die. Never die. Those men were bitten by fiery, deadly serpents. They were dying. Huge multitude of people. And God sent serpents among them. Sent snakes among them. And the snakes were biting and doing their work. And the people were, those bitten were dying. They just falling over dead. Deadly serpents. And then they cried out unto the Lord. Moses, Moses, you intercede for us. We need help from the Lord. We've sinned against the Lord. We've sinned against you. We want forgiveness. Get these deadly serpents away from us. We're dying. We're dying. God told Moses to make a serpent of brass, put it on a pole, and I think perhaps he walked out into the middle of that crowd, holding that pole as high as he could, and said, everyone that looks shall live. Everyone that believes what I say, they look and live. The act of faith, obedience and faith. If he believes God and looks, he lives. And it's the same way today. People that look to the Lord Jesus Christ in faith, live. There's life in a look. Spurgeon used to preach over and over. There's life in a look. Look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved. Mighty strange and mysterious thing, but oh, what a wonderful thing it was when you begin to understand what happened. This fiery serpents were amongst them. Fiery serpents were killing them, bringing forth death. And the fiery serpent of brass that Moses made was held up before the people as a cure, as a remedy, as a way of life. Escape death. A way of life. What does it mean? Well, brass in the scripture signifies judgment. And it showed the fiery serpent under the judgment and wrath of God. The fiery serpent came under the judgment and wrath of God. And those who looked to the remedy lived. Those who looked to the serpent of brass lived. They never died. God has ordained a way of life. And we're full of sin. Like a serpent, it's killing me. But yonder on the pole, I see that God has judged that old serpent. In His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and punished sin in Him, that sinners may go free, that sinners may look and live. Now let's translate this into Jesus Christ, just a few statements about the Lord Jesus Christ. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Sin was the cause of their problems, and sin we have in us. Sin's not a light thing, it's not a small thing, it's death. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, wherefore had by one man sin entered into this world, back yonder in the Garden of Eden, Adam our father. As by one man sin entered into this world, and death by sin, and death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. We've been bitten. We're dying. We've been bitten. We're dying. Do you see that? There's only one escape. To have a substitute. Someone to suffer in our place. Die in our place. Satisfy God for us. Put away this sin from us. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ lifted up on the cross. Lifted up on the cross. Sin's the cause of their problems. Sin's the cause of our problems. The Bible teaches that by nature, our minds, as I said a moment ago, are enmity against God. Our minds are not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can they be. It's just an impossibility. We are contrary by nature to everything that God is. God's holy, we're sin. God's light, we're darkness. God's pure. We're corrupt. We're contrary by nature. We're contrary to everything that God is. Man's enmity against God. I've heard people talk about old sinners numerous times. Well, he did a lot of bad things. He had a good heart. No, that's the worst part of it. That's why he did those bad things. The Bible says concerning you and concerning me, the heart is desperately wicked, incurably wicked. And that's a medical term. You can't cure it. You can't fix it. You can't make it right. But God, in the new covenant, the covenant of grace and salvation, He gives a new heart. He gives a new heart. Hearts are desperately wicked, incurably wicked, not subject to the law of God. Very religious. Might believe in God, things about God. But God's judgment and God's verdict is death. The soul that sinneth shall die. The wages of sin, death. Death. And we've been bitten a long time ago and we're dying. There's only one cure. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so, God had lifted up His Son. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, should not die, but have everlasting life. These men despised the heavenly manna. And that manna was Jesus Christ in a picture. They despised it. And that's all of us by nature. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. 1 Corinthians 2:14. That's what we are by nature. I'm talking about me, and I'm talking about you. For by one man sin came to us. People today, they want to hear about being saved, but they don't want to hear that salvation is all of God's sovereign free grace. They want something to do, something to experience, something to feel. Something of them, their own, to add to it. They won't take it as God gives it. And that's the only way you can have it. Sovereign and free. Sovereign and free. Don't tell me Christ alone, faith alone, that's salvation. But I tell you that, that's what it is. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that faith not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. God gave me faith to believe in His Son. Because I didn't have it. I was a sinner by nature. I was an enemy of God. How could I embrace His Son in love? God gave me faith, a new heart, a new nature. The world cries, the religious world, give us something besides this light bread. Our souls are sick of it. Hearing salvation by grace and grace alone, Christ and Christ alone. Give me some ordinances to keep. Give us some religious rituals and ceremonies. That'd make us feel good. And it seems to do just that to a lot of folks. Give me some rules and regulations. And a lot of folks seem to love rules and regulations. That puts them on the inside and everybody else on the outside, you see. So we've been bitten by sin. And that bite is unto death. And is there a remedy? Yes, there is. We've seen it. We've read it. We've looked at it. We've talked about it. That remedy is the Lord Jesus Christ. But man is such a deceived wretch that very few realize the consequences of the serpent's deadly bite. Only by the grace of God and an act of God will any man ever realize, passing through this world, what sin is. Christ saved a publican one day, and later that publican had a big feast and invited a lot of other publicans to his house, and the religious leaders, they were curious about that, upset about that. This man, why does he eat and drink with sinners? And he knew what they said, and he spoke to them on this wise. He said, they that are whole, well, they don't need a physician, but they that are sick. He said, I didn't come into this world to call righteous folks to life. I came in this world to call sinners. And he told those religious leaders and teachers and scholars, you go learn what that means, and I'll have mercy on you. They had been leaders and teachers, religious leaders and teachers and scholars and preachers. They didn't know what it was to be a sinner. They talked about sin, this and that's a sin, but they didn't know what it was to be a sinner. Sin's not just what we do. Sin's what we are. Sin's an inward problem. Only God can cure it. Can the leopard change his spots? Can't do it. Ethiopian, the color of his skin, can't do it. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Deadly sin. Life bringing, a death bringing snake bites. We're dying. We're dying. Is there a remedy? Yes, there's a remedy. But some don't realize the consequences of sin, and like they look for a remedy in the wrong place. Some just ignore it. And they say, well, if my neighbor makes it, I will too. I'm good as he is. I've heard that numerous times. I'm just good as he is. Perhaps you are. Perhaps you are. But our Lord, they used to say that about the scribes and Pharisees. If only two men go to heaven, one to be a scribe and the other to be a Pharisee. One writes the law and the other exemplifies it in his life. Christ came on the scene. He said, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, never enter the kingdom of God. Did they understand him? No, they didn't understand him. He walked right in the face of our chief religious leaders and he said, what an awful thing. But what a truth. They stood before him in their self-righteousness. And he looked them square in the eye. And he said, the publicans and the harlots enter the kingdom of God before you. But we've done all these things. And these other things we've not done. We've been holy. We've been righteous. He said, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. And I tell you again, the publicans and harlots enter the kingdom of God ahead of you. Ahead of you. Some just try to ignore the fact. Some put it off to a future time to learn more about it, they think. And some go to quack doctors for band-aids and cleansing creams that don't work. And these quack doctors, they preach baptisms and join the church and reform your life and be more religious. Like taking a gumdrop for cancer. Only one cure for what's wrong with us. You must be born again. And if you're ever born again, you know what sin is. God will show it to you. And if you're ever born again, know what sin is. He'll show you his son. And you believe on him. You'll see him lifted up. God will show you. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. As whosoever looks and believes shall be saved. Those who come to realize the problem, there is wonderful news. Look at their fiery serpent of sin and death being dealt with in the Son of God. Look yonder at Calvary. See that man on the middle cross, the center cross? He's suffering. Not only at the hands of men, he's suffering at the hands of God. God made his very soul to be an offering for sin. He's suffering hell itself, the curse of God, the absence of God. That those who believe might go free. He has become a serpent for us. God made him to be, in regular Bible language, God made him to be sin for us. He who knew no sin, that we sinners, snake-bitten sinners, might be made the righteousness of God in him. And he has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. He is that brazen serpent. God made him to be sin for us. Peter said he bore our sins in his own body on that tree. Peter said again, he suffered the just for the unjust that he might bring us to God. And that's the only way a man can ever get to God. By his stripes, we're healed. And I repeat again, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Think about that picture back yonder in the wilderness. Great, great, great multitude of people. And the snakes have come in among them. God brought them in. And they're being bitten. And they're dying. And Moses, compassion with the loudest voice, lifts up that serpent as high as he can. Walks out into the midst of the people crying, "Look! Look and live! Look and live!" And here and there and over yonder, they were looking and living. They never die. Looking and living. And that's what I say this morning. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look and live. Look and live. You know what I see when I look? I see Christ as my substitute, suffering what I should have suffered. And I see Christ as my substitute, earning throughout the days and years of his life a perfect righteousness before God. God said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And that well pleasing passed on to me through faith in his name. Now God looks at me and he says, "I'm well pleased. I see him in Christ. Trusting Christ. Believing my Son. Loving my Son." With one hand, old Moses walked out into the middle of that crowd. He holds up that serpent as high as he can. That's what the preacher's supposed to do. Hold up Jesus Christ and him crucified. The Apostle Paul said, "God forbid that I preach anything but Jesus Christ and him crucified." He was yelling, "Look, look, 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 and live." One man said long ago, he said, "There were those who was up close to Moses. He was walking in amongst them. Those up close, they heard it real plain. And the ones that looked lived. Only those who looked in faith lived. Then there were those way back on the outside, that congregation. And it was very faint. They couldn't see as clearly. But those who heard and looked, they lived." The message is simple and plain. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved. Even me. Even you. May God bless these words to every heart. Come, David.